Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to On the Bright Line podcast, Tales from Recovering Food Addicts, from the perspective of a physician, a therapist, and an off-the-wall storyteller. We are not affiliated or endorsed by Bright Line Eating, and all content presented in this podcast represents our personal opinions and does not represent medical, nutritional, or psychological professional advice.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of On the Bright Line podcast. As you see today, it is just Bonnie and I, because we are going to talk about a special topic that is very near and dear to Bonnie and I's hearts, which is coffee.
Coffee.
So I know we know that Susan generally talks about the potential of giving up caffeine when you come on to Bright Line Eating. And so we just want to talk a little bit about our journey and how we feel about coffee, how we utilize coffee, and that sort of thing. So Bonnie, I know you have a lot to say. I have some to say, and I'm kind of unapologetic about my caffeine intake, but let's start with you.
All righty. So I think the first thing is, you know, caffeine is an addictive substance.
And no, you don't say.
Many of us in Bright Line Eating that have the addictive tendencies, I think the reality is coffee can be a problem and can be a gateway, certainly to sugar as well. In my earlier years, on my path to gaining the weight that I gained through the many decades to end up needing to lose the weight, I found Starbucks when Starbucks was a pretty new company, and man, did I love it. I can remember at work, I can remember going to Starbucks in the morning and getting like a latte, like a venti, a big one. And then at lunch,
don't you remember that I was your drug dealer?
No. This is way back before then.
Okay, go ahead.
I send my staff to Starbucks at lunch, after lunch, like a couple times a day to get me a venti frappuccino.
Yeah.
So I was doing like tons and tons of caffeine and tons of sugar, and I had tons of anxiety and insomnia. Go figure. And so through the years, like I've battled kind of just like we do with our diets and our weight, I've battled on and off, like reducing my caffeine, going up, going down, going up, going down. So when I started on Bright Line Eating, I did heed the warning, and I recognized that I have an addiction to the coffee as well as to the food. And so when I first started on Bright Line Eating and I went into the weight loss portion of it, I completely stopped caffeine and I allowed myself only decaf. Like I did decaf espresso with no milk. No, because for me, like it, the caffeine was part of it, but the other part of it was like the milk and the whatever that comes with it, the flavorings or whatever. Yeah. Right. And so I basically had water and black decaf coffee and that was it. And I stayed on that for quite a while. And I slowly weaned myself off of caffeine. I didn't do it abruptly, so I didn't get the headache and all that. And I was okay. I will be honest that, you know, it's very talked about in the community that part of the thing that comes along with this way of eating, for a reason I really don't truly understand other than sugar is an osmotic laxative, is that, you know, I have trouble
with the bathroom. Are we talking about constipation? Is that what we're talking about?
I have trouble with that ever since I went on this plan. And that's the opposite of how I ever was else in my life.
Right.
And I, all the things that people in the community talk about that I still do some of, I mean, magnesium and, you know, all the herbal stuff. I mean, I tried everything like that the community pitches out that, oh, this worked great for me. Didn't really work. And I noticed when I accidentally got caffeine one day that I was able to just go to the bathroom. Mm. Made a decision to add in one caffeinated drink in the morning. And I started out just being, it was just still black coffee, right? And that fixed my bathroom problem and has since completely, I mean, just doing that one caffeinated drink a day has fixed my caffeine problem. And I have never strayed beyond one caffeinated drink a day in the couple years now that I've been doing Bright Line Eating. So I've kept that caffeine to that, and I don't have anxiety and I don't have insomnia, and I've just controlled the caffeine amount. But what has been a problem for me is as I got into maintenance, I'm like, oh, I'm in maintenance now. I can add the milk back, and I can have one at lunch, and then I can have one at night, and then I could put cocoa powder in at night, and then I have like a hot chocolate, and then it's just like the whole slippery slope of, and then guess what came back? Food chatter, the chatter about that, constant chatter about that. So I battled that kind of off and on. In the last few weeks, I I've done like a resume of sorts, and I because I had weight creep after I went on maintenance, and my resume has been very successful, and I feel within a few days of just recommitting to the weight loss portions and completely cutting out milk, you know, I've just gone back to like complete peace about everything again. But I've need to have milk in the first cup of the morning one, but I measure it at a half a cup. So back into the box, into the quantity box,
right,
that's weighed and measured, has given me complete peace about it.
And do you count that as a condiment, or do you count that as part of a protein, or?
I just don't count it as anything. It's just, it's its own thing. Okay. Don't count it. But I weigh it, measure it, write it down the night before, plan for it, and do not deviate from it. And by doing that, by keeping it in the bounded quantities, I don't have the chatter about when am I going to get another one.
Yeah.
Right. I sometimes do decaf later in the day. That's just black. And sometimes I don't, and I don't have a craving for it but you know, what happens is I work at home and I have that, you know, the boredom or the frustration or the whatever. And, you know, my food and everything else used to be like the getting up to get the thing is the break.
Yeah.
So getting up and getting the coffee was the break, but also that was a gateway into getting the more milk,
right,
which was part of the weight creep, right?
Right.
So I've started a new process where I have an outdoor activity, as long as the weather's okay, that I can go and do in minutes, you know, in 3 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So however long of a break I have, I can run out and do that. And it gives me a little dopamine hit. I'm working on my little garden path and I just chip away at that. And now that's my thing that I'm going to do instead of having coffee to alleviate boredom, stress, anxiety, or whatever. And so that has been really successful. And I wish I had done that in the beginning. And I think, you know, I went into maintenance without a guide, and I think that was a mistake. And I slippery sloped. And for me, the coffee was the gateway to everything else. I never broke my sugar or flour lines, but I got sloppy with quantities, and that milk and the coffee was the gateway to that.
Right.
So it's a cautionary tale. I mean, caffeine is an addiction. If it's triggering to bring you to sugar and flour, it just, you got to be real careful about it. I mean, Susan says, do the experiment yourself.
Right.
Oh, I'm a 10 on the susceptibility scale. And, you know, when I experiment, I very quickly remember that. So that's where I'm at with coffee right now.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I never gave up coffee ever. Like, I decided like early on that like coffee was going to be part of my, because I you know, I'm in that caffeine addiction cycle for sure. And I'll readily admit coffee addiction, caffeine addiction. Yes, I have it, not ready to deal with it yet. And, you know, when I do have coffee, I try and sometimes I will put, you know, limitations on how many I have. I try and keep, you know, pay attention to how many cups of coffee I'm drinking a day and switch to decaf in the afternoons and all that sort of thing. But, you know, as I've just, you know, I've gone through the program, I've just decided it's not something I want to deal with currently. So it's not causing me food chatter. It's not moving me to, you know, to sugar or flour or anything like that. But it is something that I get questions about all the time, like on social media. Like, people ask me, because they're like, you know, what do you do with your coffee? Like, how do you measure your milk and that sort of thing? Oat milk is considered a condiment. And so I measure out the oat milk when I do it. It's not bound to meal times for me. So that's my program, and that's how I've chosen to run it. And, you know, right now it is what it is. And eventually, probably, do I want to take a look at that and maybe try and, you know, scroll down off of the amount of caffeine I'm on? Yeah, probably. But especially right now, as I'm trying to work through maintenance and like deal with that and the hunger and all that sort of thing, it's not something I want to address yet. And I think that that's an important point in all of this, is that we have to, you know, we all have to run our own programs. And I think for me, it's like, is it better that I'm drinking coffee with 2 ounces of oat milk in it than, you know, going back to the food? Yes, I do. I think it's okay right now. And eventually I'll probably decide differently. But, you know, right now where I'm at in my life, like, that's just not going to change. So,
well, it's those, right? You have peace about it. Is it
yeah,
like, is it a program? And it sounds like you have peace around it, and it's not messing up your.
Well, but I think it does escalate at times. And then I try and address it when it does. Like, if I'm having 6 cups of coffee a day, I'm like, okay, I need to back off that. That's too much. just even just for caffeine, like not even talking about the milk at all, like just for the amount of caffeine that I'm intaking, just because, you know, sleep, obviously that disrupts sleep. And then I get into that cycle of like, okay, I'm not sleeping, so I need more caffeine to get through the day. And that's, you know, that's kind of the dangerous cycle, I think, to break. So I think, you know, especially as a physician, like I'd love to hear your opinion about like, you know, people weaning off of coffee, because you said like you wean down off coffee. Like, how would you recommend that people do that if they're going to do that? If they decide they do want to get off of, you know, caffeine, they want to remove that from their program in general, how would you recommend doing that? Because cold turkey, let's just say like in the midst of like Brightline eating and like especially weight loss, like going cold turkey on coffee sounds painful.
Yeah, when you're already stressed out. Yeah, I mean, the first thing to say, it's very interesting, and I can't remember how many hours it is, but caffeine has a really long half-life. So as a drug, right, it has a long half-life, which means it actually builds up in your, it builds up its, you know, its effect very slowly over many, many hours, and then tapers off over many hours. So the caffeine that we ingest in the morning is, I think, peaking at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And it's still kind of present when we're trying to go to bed, which is why even if you cut to decaf later in the day, if you have too much earlier in the day, it affects you. I know my husband's a neonatologist, and I think they dose the babies with caffeine that are premature that forget to breathe. They give them caffeine to kind of stimulate them up so they remember to breathe. And I think they dose them only like one every 1.5 days. That's how long the half-life is.
Wow.
So you keep that in mind, the pick-me-up that you feel first thing in the morning, really, when you first have that coffee, is psychological. Because you're basically getting your fix, you know, you're in withdrawal and you're getting your drug, and it feels also just the ritual of the, having the hot thing in your hand or whatever, you know, whatever is the ritual for you with coffee. But caffeine withdrawal causes several symptoms. It causes agitation, it causes severe headaches, and it can cause some jitteriness. And so I would say no matter how much caffeine you're, even if you're like, oh, I only drink a cup a day, but you know, you might notice that if you miss that cup because something happens, you have a headache and you're not sure why, it might be because of caffeine withdrawal, even if you're only having one cup a day. So I recommend taking whatever your current, if you want to cut caffeine down or cut it out, if you just take your current amount of caffeine and you cut that like by a third for a week, and then a third for a week, and then you're not going to have the symptoms. Your headache from the withdrawal usually resolves within 48 hours. So it's not forever, but it's really painful and miserable and not leaves it. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So there's no reason, like there's no reason to, unless you have some sort of a medical problem where you suddenly can't have caffeine for some reason, there's no reason to abruptly withdraw and be miserable if you just do a slow taper. And so, you know, let's say you're just normally doing coffee grounds, like a drip coffee in the morning, just take your, you know, your grounds and buy a box of decaf as well as your caffeine and literally mix the grounds 50-50.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then 40-60 and then 30. That's what I did.
You know,
I did.
Everybody in BLE has a scale, so you can do that.
Absolutely. So I would just like slowly taper down at 1 week intervals. I decrease the amount at 1 week intervals, and then you won't have the headache.
Yeah.
It's much more cool. And I do like, I think it's interesting. Like, I think it's very true. Everybody does their program different. Everybody is triggered by different things. And so not everyone needs to quit caffeine, but if you're solid on your program, but you're still drinking coffee and you're finding you have food thoughts all day, you need to get curious about, do you really need to think about whether you need to remove caffeine? Right. Because I think just the act of having coffee with milk, or a milk substitute or whatever, I think for some people can still kind of keep them in that loop of the food addiction and then keep them in the craving loop. Plus, you know, I do drink black coffee outside of meals. And so, and that's another thing, like there is a thing about only having your food and beverage with your meal, with mealtime, and kind of having that in your mind, again, that bounded boundary that helps you just not have the food chatter.
Right.
So again, let's say I'm only drinking black coffee, but you're still having food thoughts or you're still struggling with your program, even though everything else is going great, then you got to question whether that experiment is failing and you need to even take out the extra, whatever it is. I mean, I think even for tea, right? Some of these herbal teas.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Cause I know at the beginning of the program, like I remember like you and Clay were both like big tea drinkers, tea drinkers, and you guys would do tea like every afternoon. And you know, what did that
substitute, right, for the coffee.
Right.
But like there was one he really liked. He was like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, it says natural flavorings as like the third ingredient. It's like, it's sugar. sugar is a natural product, right? It comes from a plant. So, you know, I don't know what kind of natural flavoring, but it's like, if you take the tea and it's like, it tastes like it has sugar in it, be careful, because I don't, you know, for me, I feel like I have not had sugar since I started this program. Like I said, quantities have been my challenge and maintenance, but if I just feel I'm so susceptible that if I have a tea with sugar in it, I just could turn on those food thoughts. I'd have to like start that whole whatever detox process all over again. So I've avoided, but there's a couple herbal teas I like. The one I'm doing right now is it's a lemon and ginger.
Ooh.
It's not sweet at all. And it's got that little bite of the ginger, you know, and it's just, and I do that almost every night. So that's like my, you know, my bedtime thing. And like when I travel, you know what I mean? Cause I don't have soda or and coffee on the planes are nasty. So I actually bring my own mug with a lid on it. Cause my last flight I got a hot tea. And as soon as I went to the first sip, I spilled the entire cup in my lap, and I spent the entire flight 4 hours with wet pants.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I have my travel mug now with a lid on it.
That's very smart.
But I have my tea bags when I travel, and that's what I have. So yeah, tea can be a nice way to kind of, to still have that ritual of that warm cup in your hand.
Right.
Like if you're going to completely give up coffee, I think that's a nice thing to do is the herbal teas that are, you know, uncaffeinated, and it can still give you some of the ritual and some of the just for the relaxation or the pleasure with.
Yeah. I know a lot of people switch to herbal teas, you know, that's what they substitute for their coffee. And so it's always a good, you know, obviously checking ingredients is really important. And then even some of the ones that are not, you know, don't have any sugar in them, but are more flavorful can be triggering to people. Like the spice tea, that celestial seasoning. I've heard people say like, I can't drink it. It's too, you know, it's too triggering for me. Yeah. So I think you just have to, you know, examine what works for you and, you know, go with that. But Yeah. Caffeine and coffee is definitely one of the things that I think is a hot topic within the community. And I think this is a keep your eyes on your own plate, you know, situation.
Well, I mean, you know, if you have to give up coffee because it doesn't work for you, you're going to go through a long period of feeling salty about it. So when someone else, when someone else is just enjoying it all day and it's not messing them up, there's a little jealousy. I don't know.
That's legitimate.
Right. Everything in this program, like when somebody's like, oh, I can have that and it doesn't mess me up. And it's like, it messes me up. And then that makes me feel bad. So
yeah,
that's where some of the judgment comes from. But there are no BLE police, as we say. And again, I think it all comes down to you have to truly answer the question for yourself. It's only between you and yourself, this program.
Right.
It's anyone else to judge or decide how you're doing with it. You just have to look. And if you notice that there's thoughts, like for me, and I've talked about this before, this program, the thing that this program does for me that makes it worth continuing is the peace.
Right.
Way more important to me than what size I weigh.
Right.
I've had the food chatter my whole life. So I think if you're having the chatter and you feel like your program's clean, you've got to strongly examine the coffee if that's something in your plan. And you know, I kind of like everything else, like all other substance treatment recovery plans. I'm not saying I'm never going to have a second cup of coffee a day with milk in it.
Right.
But I'm saying for right now, I can't.
Not today. Yeah.
I need to stick into. And then once I've strung together a lot more weeks and months of super clean program and I'm back at my normal goal range, my healthy, you know, bright body range, and I'm successfully maintaining. And when it's time to start adding, I might add another half, you know, half a cup of, you know, of oat milk in there, but it will have to be done with transparency, with honesty with myself, with integrity and, you know,
accountability.
Yep. I can't do it willy nilly because I know exactly what happens when I do. When I ask right back to quantity problems immediately.
Well, I will say I am forever grateful for coffee because that's what brought Bonnie and I together.
It is.
We would never have met if it weren't for your Starbucks addiction, Bonnie.
I still identify with coffee. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know.
You still identify as a coffee drinker? Is that you're telling me?
I still identify as a coffee drinker. But yeah, I recognize I want to be able to keep it in my life. So that means I need to be super careful and have super strong integrity about it.
Yeah.
I want to keep that little pleasure and not have it overtake me. I've got to be really vigilant because I know what my tendencies are. So.
Well, and I think the lesson there is if you can't keep it under control, much like we probably most of us feel about flour and sugar, we have to cut it out. Like that's you know, abstinence is the way if it's something that you can't otherwise.
That's hard to admit that when you're, you know.
Well, that is part of, you know, the surrender of this program, 100%. Right?
Yep.
Admitting that we have food addiction and then trying to deal with that. Yeah, no, it's not fun. Yeah. It's not the fun part.
Caffeine addiction out loud means you have to start addressing it. And that's not.
No, you can address, you can just admit it and not address it. Like I'm sitting here in like full, like full transparency. I have a caffeine addiction. I'm not ready to address it yet. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, I think it's a good conversation. I think it's a good topic. I think, you know, I think people just need to, you know, keep in mind that it's what may be triggering for you may not be triggering for someone else. And yeah, caffeine is an addictive substance. I mean, we used to joke when I worked at Starbucks that, you know, we're drug dealers. Like we're it's legal addictive substances that we're peddling there at Starbucks. So anyway, yeah. So I don't know. Do you have any further thoughts on coffee?
No. Everybody got to do it your way.
That's right. So you do you is the moral of the story, but the bigger picture is if you are struggling with it, or if you're struggling with food thoughts and coffee is still part of your program, maybe that's something to look at as something to cut out. But we're not here to give any advice, and I'm definitely not here to judge anybody considering the amount of caffeine that I intake. So. Well, that is our episode for today. Thank you so much for joining. As always, if you have questions, comments, topics, guest ideas, you can send us an email at onthebrightlinepodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on any of our socials. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.